Hey everyone, Ron here.
And Sandy.
And welcome to the Legal Marketing Playbook from Forward Push Law Firm Marketing. Today we are doing a really focused deep dive.
We are.
We're looking at some material, specifically an article we found on the Forward Push Law Firm Marketing website.
Yeah.
And this one really, it zeroes in on something I think a lot of lawyers know is important, but maybe underestimate just how important.
Yeah, the power of law firm reviews.
Exactly.
It's interesting because, you know, reviews are everywhere, right,
yeah,
for any business. But for a law firm, the stakes, they just feel different. And the source material, it really makes a strong case that these aren't just, you know, nice little extras to have.
Right. Not just gold stars.
No. They're actually critical for, well, both your online visibility and for building that fundamental trust with potential clients.
Absolutely. And for you, our listener, likely working through the complexities of legal marketing,
mm-hmm,
our mission here is to really unpack why this article says reviews are so essential, not just nice to haves, and then get into the nuts and bolts of how you can actually leverage them effectively.
Yeah. And we're going to touch on some, I think, surprising points the article makes about their SEO power and just how much weight they carry in building trust. It's quite revealing.
So let's just jump right into the core argument here. The article starts right off presenting reviews as this, well, often overlooked asset.
Yeah, it really pushes back on the idea that there's something you can sort of get around to later. It's
yeah,
pretty clear. The source says they are absolutely not just optional extras for law firms anymore. Not if you want to compete online.
And the main point, it hits home immediately, that they are, according to this source, one of the strongest local SEO ranking signals you have available.
That's a huge point, isn't it? I mean, for a law firm, you're almost always trying to reach clients in a specific city or region.
Right.
And the article is saying reviews are right up there at the top for helping Google understand you belong in those local search results. Okay, so if there's such a strong signal, where does the real value actually, you know, come from? The source breaks this down into three critical aspects that online reviews really influence for a law firm.
All right, lay them on us. What's number one?
First up, it's search visibility. This is all about how Google looks at authentic, consistent reviews, especially those tied to your Google business profile.
Ah, the GBP.
Crucial, totally. The article emphasizes that the volume, the velocity, the recency of your reviews, these are core factors in whether your firm shows up in that really important Google local pack.
That local pack. Man, getting to those top three results on the map when someone searches personal injury lawyer near me or whatever.
Yeah.
That is absolutely massive for getting calls and clicks.
It is. And the article says reviews are a key driver for that.
Okay. Second aspect, consumer trust.
Think of reviews as social proof.
Mm-hmm.
They are this incredibly powerful third-party endorsement. And the source notes, this is often way more persuasive than anything you, the firm, might say about yourself in your marketing copy.
Right. Because, of course, you're going to say you're great. But hearing it from a former client, that just hits different, carries more weight.
Exactly. Which leads right into the third point, conversion rates. The article actually cites a study from Lawmatics which found that nearly 80% of legal consumers said Google reviews influenced their decision to actually contact a firm.
Wow, 80%. I mean, that's huge. That's almost 4 out of 5 people looking at your reviews before they even decide to call or fill out your form.
It really shows how reviews aren't just about getting seen. They directly impact whether someone takes that next step. You know, the article explains that a healthy, positive review profile, it just dramatically increases the likelihood of those inquiries. The form fills, the phone calls, the consultation requests.
Because it builds that immediate trust.
Precisely. It demonstrates a history of positive client experiences. They even give this anecdotal example. A mid-sized personal injury firm put in place a targeted workflow. Over just 2 months, they gathered about 30 new 5-star reviews.
Uh-huh.
And the article notes that while they didn't have like super rigorous tracking tying every call directly to review volume, they absolutely saw a very noticeable jump in calls and inquiries.
And people mentioned the reviews.
Yeah, and many of those new contacts specifically mentioned seeing their positive reviews online. That was the reason they decided to reach out. It's a pretty compelling real-world illustration of the impact.
That story really brings it to life. And, you know, the article makes a point of connecting all this to something search marketers are always talking about. EET.
Ah, yes. EEAT. Good old EEET.
Right.
That stands for experience, expertise, authoritativeness, and trust. And for Google, especially in what they call YMYL, your money, your life categories like legal or health, EEAT is absolutely crucial for evaluating the quality and trustworthiness of websites and, you know, the firms behind them. It's essential for ranking well.
So how exactly do client reviews feed into this EEAT thing? How does Google see them fitting in?
Well, the source breaks it down pretty neatly. For experience, reviews are literally descriptions of real client interactions. They show you have actual hands-on experience helping people.
Okay.
For expertise, clients often highlight, you know, specific legal knowledge or a skill they saw you use. That directly validates your capabilities.
And I guess for authoritativeness, a firm with a steady stream of good reviews just looks like a respected go-to leader in its local market, right?
Exactly. It signals authority. And maybe most directly, trust. Trust is built not just by getting reviews, but by how you engage with them.
Like responding.
Yes. Responding to feedback, both the good and the maybe not so good, shows potential clients that you're engaged, you're listening, you actually care about client opinions. That builds significant confidence.
Okay, so given how vital these reviews are, you'd think maybe you could just, I don't know, automate the heck out of it.
Yeah.
Like just blast every client with an email asking for a review the second their case wraps up, you know, like an e-commerce store might do.
Right.
But the article says that's not really the best approach for legal, does it?
No, it makes a pretty strong point that that kind of traditional high-volume automation, it just falls flat in the legal world. It doesn't quite work.
Why is that? What's the difference for law firms?
Well, the core difference, according to the source, boils down to two things: client volume and the nature of the relationship. Law firms typically have a much, much smaller client pool each month compared to businesses doing hundreds or thousands of transactions.
Okay, fewer clients.
And maybe more importantly, sending these generic batch emails asking for reviews, it completely misses that crucial personal connection, the connection that's really the bedrock of the lawyer-client relationship.
Ah, so you're saying a generic automated email feels kind of cold and impersonal, especially when the relationship itself is so personal, often dealing with really sensitive stuff?
Precisely. The article notes that, yeah, batch emails might get you a few reviews here and there, but they fail to capitalize on that deep relationship you've hopefully built. It argues your review collection strategy really needs to mirror the relationship-focused way you practice law, which leads us right into the recommended approach that the article lays out. It describes it almost as a personal review collection funnel, or maybe a workflow.
A funnel designed for consistency, but making sure to keep that crucial personal touch in there. Okay, walk us through those suggested steps.
Okay, so step one, identify a clear client milestone. This is your trigger point. Maybe a case is closed successfully, or perhaps a consultation is done where you provided significant value, or the specific legal service is delivered.
Right, something definite happens. And that milestone should ideally trigger a review request, step two. The article suggests using your firm's CRM or case management system to note this status change. And maybe that triggers a task for someone, or even auto sends an initial, very simple invite to get the ball rolling. But that's just the beginning.
Exactly. Because the essential third step is the personal follow-up. This is where the article says the real magic happens. A staff member, ideally someone the client knows and trusts from working on their case, should actually call or maybe text the client within, say, 24 to 48 hours of that milestone.
That personal connection
makes
the ask feel much more natural.
Totally. And then during or maybe shortly after that personal follow-up, you send the review link. That's stage four. And you need to make it incredibly easy for them. Provide a direct, simple link right to where you want them to leave the review, probably your Google Business profile page.
Make it frictionless. Got it.
Yep. And then stage five is really important. Monitor response. Don't just, you know, send the link and hope for the best. If you don't see a review pop up within a few days, the article suggests a polite, respectful follow-up. Persistence can pay off, but obviously you don't want to overdo it and become annoying.
Right, finding that balance. And finally, stage six is track results. The article recommends using even just a simple log or spreadsheet. Track which clients were asked, when they were asked, and what the outcome was. Did they leave a review? Where did they leave it?
And this tracking is so vital because it lets you actually measure your success rate and refine your strategy over time. You can see what's working, what isn't, and improve. It's really about building a repeatable process that fits into your normal workflow.
That funnel makes a lot of sense for the process side of things. Mm-hmm. But the article also gets really practical, right? It offers five specific actionable ways you can actually build that review portfolio, different times or opportunities to ask.
Yeah, it shifts from the how structure to the what tactics. The first one is pretty straightforward: personal outreach to former clients. This ties right back into that funnel we just talked about. Leverage those relationships you've built.
Call or text.
Exactly. The article says nothing really beats a direct one-on-one ask, preferably by phone or maybe text, from someone they actually know at the firm.
And it makes a good point that success with this can really vary depending on the practice area, can't it? Like, firms handling personal injury cases, especially if they got a great result, might find clients are pretty eager to share their story.
Definitely. Whereas, you know, family law or maybe criminal defense, other really sensitive matters, you need much more discretion and tact when asking. It's a different dynamic.
That's a really important nuance. Okay, what's the second practical way?
Number two is to encourage professional character references. The article clarifies it's perfectly fine and valuable to have peers, maybe attorneys you refer cases to, referral partners or colleagues leave reviews or endorsements.
Oh, interesting. Not just clients.
Right. They can highlight your professionalism, your integrity, specific skills. These are also powerful third-party validators for potential clients looking you up.
Okay. Number three is pretty obvious. Post-case reviews from satisfied clients. When you get that positive outcome, the article stresses following up quickly, maybe within a few days.
Yeah, while the experience is still fresh in their mind, the positive feelings are high. They're much more likely than to take a moment to share that appreciation.
Makes sense. Number four is interesting. Asking after consultations. Even if the client doesn't hire you. That sounds a bit counterintuitive.
It does, but the logic is sound. If you provided real value, clear guidance, or just a positive, helpful experience during a consultation, even a free one, that experience is review-worthy in itself.
Ah, so you ask for feedback on the quality of the consultation and the help provided, not necessarily about a case outcome they didn't have with you.
Exactly. It's about reviewing the interaction and the value you delivered in that moment. And the fifth practical way mentioned is fostering team-based review initiatives.
Getting the whole staff involved.
Yeah, especially in larger firms. The source mentions things like simple internal contests or maybe small incentives for staff members, intake specialists, paralegals, junior attorneys. These are often the people who build great rapport with clients day to day.
And they might be really well positioned to make that soft ask or just a gentle reminder about leaving feedback. Smart.
So a question that, you know, naturally comes up for lawyers thinking about all this is, okay, fine, but how many reviews do I actually need? Is there some magic number I should be shooting for?
The article addresses that head on, and the answer is no. There isn't one specific perfect number of reviews.
Which is probably a relief, right? Because chasing some arbitrary number can feel overwhelming. The focus, according to the source, really should be on establishing and maintaining a sustainable, repeatable system for collecting them consistently over time.
Right. It's about the process, not just the total count. And that's where tracking comes back in. The article suggests using that basic log we talked about, who was asked when, did they respond, helps you understand your own process.
And over time, that data lets you set realistic internal benchmarks. Benchmarks based on your firm's actual client volume and how many personal asks your team can realistically make each month or quarter.
Exactly. The absolute number isn't the main goal. The source really stresses that what Google and potential clients seem to care about most is consistency and recency.
Yeah, a steady flow of current reviews signals an active, reputable firm. That's often much more powerful than having, say, 100 reviews that are all 5 years old and nothing since. Freshness matters.
Now, obviously, Google is king when it comes to local search visibility. We know that. But the article makes a point that you probably shouldn't only focus there, right? Diversifying where you get reviews is important, too.
Absolutely. Because potential clients, they're savvy. They often research across multiple platforms before making a decision. So while Google is definitely the most important starting point, just limiting yourself there means you're probably missing opportunities to build credibility elsewhere.
So what other platforms does the article highlight as relevant for legal?
Well, it mentions Avvo, which is entirely legal specific. That makes it great for showcasing attorney credentials, peer endorsements, client reviews. It often encourages more detailed feedback too.
Okay, Avvo. What else?
And Justia, another really valuable legal directory that's good for SEO. It lets you include detailed practice area information. The article recommends making sure your firm's profile there is claimed and fully filled out.
Yelp is also mentioned, which, you know, isn't legal exclusive, but it can be surprisingly influential, especially maybe in more urban or highly competitive markets. People do check Yelp for lawyers.
They do. And don't forget Facebook. It's super easy for clients to leave recommendations there. While it might feel more casual, it definitely contributes to your overall brand perception, makes your firm seem more approachable online.
So the takeaway is, potential clients often cross-reference. They might see you on Google, then check Avvo or Yelp. Having a presence on multiple platforms just adds layers of credibility.
Exactly. It paints a more complete picture.
Okay, so you're getting these reviews coming in through your system, maybe across a few platforms.
Mm-hmm.
How do you make them work even harder for you? The article talks about repurposing them, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You should think of every single good review as a mini testimonial. You've earned this valuable social proof, so don't just let it sit there. Use it.
So what are some ways the source suggests doing that?
Well, first, prominently display them on your website. Sprinkle quotes throughout relevant pages. And it specifically mentions using schema markup for reviews.
Ah, the technical bit. Schema helps Google understand that this content is a review, which can help with SEO.
Exactly. You can also turn them into really compelling social media posts. Maybe create nice, quote, graphics with an anonymous client testimonial, or even use snippets in short videos.
Using them inside your email campaigns seems smart, too. Maybe spotlighting a positive client experience, obviously keeping confidentiality in mind.
Definitely. Or using them in case study summaries. And the article even suggests integrating review snippets into your local ads or PPC landing pages, leveraging that social proof right at the point where potential clients are clicking and considering contacting you. Now, there's a really, really crucial section in the article, especially for you lawyers listening, and ethical considerations around collecting reviews.
That's super important. You absolutely have to make sure your review strategy aligns with your local bar association rules, the ABA guidelines, and also, you know, Google's own policies for reviews.
The source is very clear on some key prohibitions. Number one, you must never, ever offer compensation like money, discounts, gift cards, anything of value in exchange for someone leaving your review. That's a huge ethical breach and violates Google's terms of service, too.
Big no-no. What else?
If someone is leaving a professional character reference, like a peer attorney or a colleague, any existing relationship should ideally be disclosed for transparency. And critically, you must avoid asking for reviews if doing so could in any way compromise client confidentiality or attorney-client privilege.
Some case details just can't be shared, even implicitly in a review.
Exactly. It's all about building your online reputation while strictly adhering to the high ethical standards that are required of the legal profession.
The article also touches briefly on review management tools.
Right. It mentions that while, you know, full automation isn't the answer for that crucial initial ask in legal, tools can be incredibly helpful for managing your review strategy once that personal ask is made or the initial invite goes out.
So they help with the workflow, not replace the personal element.
Precisely. It gives examples like Podium, which is known for being good at sending centralized text message review invitations, making it easy for clients to respond via text.
And it mentions Grade.us, which helps you track reviews across lots of different platforms and manage your responses all in one place.
Or GatherUp, which the article notes can be particularly helpful for firms maybe with multiple office locations, and it offers more robust reporting features. The key point is, these tools are there to help you manage the process, monitor results, and maybe follow up politely. They don't, and shouldn't, replace that personal outreach that's so effective for lawyers.
And that really loops back nicely to the final point the article makes, which is all about integration. For review collection to be truly effective and sustainable, it really needs to become a seamless part of your firm's existing workflows.
Yes. It shouldn't feel like some extra burdensome task tacked on at the end. The article suggests building review requests right into your CRM or your case management system's standard client offboarding process.
So it could be as simple as setting an automatic task reminder for the right staff member, the paralegal, the attorney, to make that personal follow-up call after a case closes successfully.
Exactly. Or maybe triggering an initial email draft that prompts that person to personalize it before sending and then reminds them to make the follow-up call. The goal is to build it in. This ensures consistency and, again, makes tracking possible so you can actually see what's working and optimize your efforts over time. So as we wrap up this deep dive, I think the overarching takeaway from this Forward Push article is pretty clear. Law firm reviews are fundamentally not an afterthought. They're not just a digital gold star you collect.
No, they are a powerful, essential, and frankly, pretty much non-negotiable component of modern legal marketing. They impact your local SEO dramatically. They build immediate trust with potential clients in a way almost nothing else can online. And they are absolutely key to shaping your firm's online narrative.
And for you, the lawyer listening right now, the real question to ask yourself is, what's your current process for collecting reviews? Is it just kind of ad hoc, happening whenever someone remembers? Or do you actually have a repeatable system in place?
Yeah. How can you start implementing maybe that personal funnel approach or some of those practical asking techniques we discussed to make review collection a consistent, integrated part of how you manage client relationships and close out cases?
It really makes you think about that first impression, doesn't it? When a potential client searches for a lawyer like you online, what story is your current review profile telling them right now? Or maybe more importantly, what story is it failing to tell because the reviews aren't there or aren't recent?
That's definitely something to ponder, especially when you consider how increasingly important these reputation signals are likely to become. You know, as search algorithms evolve, maybe even with AI tools potentially relying more heavily on reputation data in the future to evaluate businesses, having a consistent positive review strategy feels less like an option and more like a competitive necessity.